Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 97 of the IoT for All podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Chacon, and today's guest is Senior Security Engineer at Cable Labs, Kyle Hafner. He joins us to talk about the IoT security landscape and the future as we move into 2021. He also discusses some of the considerations companies and individuals should keep in mind when looking to add IoT into their home and businesses, as well as the specifications and baseline that IoT companies are implementing right now. And to give you a little background on Cable Labs, for those of you who are unfamiliar, they are focused on building platforms, technologies, and specifications that help support a wide variety of services and applications, enabling one cohesive and seamless ecosystem that continually fuels the imaginations of millions. So if you're interested in security, I promise you will find a lot of value in this episode with Kyle. So without further ado, please enjoy this episode with a senior security engineer at Cable Labs, Kyle Hafner. Welcome, Kyle, to the IoT for All show. Thanks for being here this week with me.
Yes, thank you for having me, Ryan.
Yeah, it's great to have you. Let's start out by having you give a quick introduction to our audience, you know, more about you, your background, experience, anything you think could be interesting for our audience to hear about so they can get a sense of who they're listening to.
Sure. So my name is Kyle Hafner. I currently work as a lead security architect at Cable Labs. And Cable Labs is kind of the research and development arm of the cable industry.
Okay.
I've heard it's compared to kind of like the Bell Labs for cable. I also just defended my dissertation in August, and I'm going to graduate in December here.
Congrats.
Thank you.
That's awesome. What are you graduating with and from where?
I'm graduating with a PhD in computer science from Colorado State University.
Awesome. Is everything kind of online right now, or are you able to kind of go in person to do that stuff?
Oh, yeah, it's all online.
Yeah, I imagine so.
I did the entire defense online, right?
So, okay.
But it was interesting, but worked out well.
Good.
So that was good. Okay. I guess an interesting thing, not really related to IoT, but still kind of interesting, is I spent 2 years in the United States Peace Corps as an information technology advisor in Jamaica, Kingston, Jamaica specifically.
Okay. How was that?
It was an interesting experience. I'm glad I did it. Probably wouldn't do it again, but I got to work with some great people. And we were doing... trying to leverage open source in the Jamaican public school system. So
really cool. Okay, very cool. It's always funny when people describe experiences like, oh, it was a great experience, but I would never do it again. I have many of those. Like I rode a 100-mile bike ride one time for like a competition thing. It wasn't like I wasn't competing. I was just participating in it. And it's always like, oh, yeah, it was a great experience. I would never in my life do that again.
Yeah, definitely. So.
That's cool. Yeah, I've been to Jamaica a few times, like on cruises and stuff, but it's probably a very different kind of side of Jamaica than I'm sure you were working and living in.
Oh, yes. Very. Public transportation, all that stuff. So.
Oh, yeah, I imagine so. But great. I appreciate that introduction. Let's branch into Cable Labs a bit. I know you kind of just gave a quick, you know, one sentence overview of what you all do, but if you would dive in a little bit more to kind of the role you all play in IoT and for the industry as a whole, that'd be fantastic.
Yeah. So a little bit of background on Cable Labs. It's a very small company, 250 people-ish, a lot of engineers, a lot of technologists. It's a very future-thinking company. So our goal is to look at solutions that are 3 to 8 years out. And we typically look at things that would benefit the cable industry. But Cable Labs is also well known for DOCSIS, which is the standard specification for all cable modems that connect to the internet.
Okay.
So, and we're working on, you know, connection speeds are growing, and we're working on what we call the 10G thing, which is 10 gigabit symmetrical connections over coax.
Okay. Very nice. And how does that play into kind of the new stuff you have working on, play into your relationship with OCF and all that?
Yeah. So for the cable industry in general benefits from clean networks, and so do subscribers, right? And ever since, I'm sure you're tired of hearing about Mirai, but it's always on our minds, is the botnet attack that was largely driven by IoT devices back in 2016. You know, ever since then, you know, cable and I'd say the industry and government have kind of woken up to, hey, this is a big problem with IoT devices. And so at Cable Labs, we've been looking at how do we make clean networks? And we look at this from in a holistic kind of sense. How do we make the networks more able to deal with DDoS attacks? How do we make IoT devices more secure from the get-go? And so I am the lead of the IoT security initiative at Cable Labs.
Okay.
And that involves a lot of standards work, such as open connectivity, and looking at innovative ways that we can actually architect our networks to handle insecure IoT devices.
Okay. And for those of our audience members who may not be familiar with the OCF, can you give a quick overview of what that is?
Yeah. So the Open Connectivity Foundation is an open IoT based standards organization. It's been around for, I mean, probably close to 5 years if you include some of the earlier iterations like IOC. It has about 450 to 500 member companies that have all been contributing to developing the specification for secure, interoperable IoT. There's lots of big companies, manufacturers, and cable operators. So we have a pretty holistic group of folks all contributing to this. Okay,
fantastic. Yeah, I mean, I'm familiar with it. I'm sure some of our audience members are as well, but we haven't really had anybody on to talk about what the OCF is or our participating company to get a sense of kind of the value it provides. So I appreciate that overview. I guess one thing that'd be cool to hear about is just general kind of use cases or you know, situations that you have kind of dealt with or worked on as it relates to Cable Labs and kind of the role you all play in IoT. If there's any use cases or kind of situations you can talk about that it would be kind of cool to shed some light on.
So I think one of the, I don't know if it's a use case necessarily, but it's one of the main goals of securing IoT devices in general is we've been, and this includes with Open Connectivity Foundation, strongly driving the concept of having all IoT devices have an immutable, unique, and attestable identity on the network. And that identity, as long as you can, it's unique and immutable and attestable, can be used in further security scenarios for that device, because you can say, okay, this device is made by manufacturer X. I know how it has a MUD profile, which is manufacturer usage description. So I know exactly which ports it needs to get on the network. And I can provision the network specifically for that device. And I know it's that device. It can't lie about itself. And so I think that this is an important aspect in not just the Open Connectivity Foundation aspect, but all other ones that are coming out too. So this identity concept is foundational to being able to secure IoT and build networks that can be secure.
Okay, cool. I wanted to kind of move into another topic. We've had a number of guests recently talk about security on the IoT front, and we've gotten a lot of good insights on the space, but I think it'd be interesting to get your view of a couple things. The first, I wanted to just get a sense of how you all view the IoT security kind of landscape or current kind of standing as it is today, but also relate that just for our audience's benefit to where IoT kind of security started in the past, where it is now, and then where you see it going or where you think it needs to go and how we kind of get there.
Sure. So maybe we can call it the Charles Dickens model of IoT security, where you have the ghosts of IoT past, present, and future. So the past, largely security was an afterthought. Lots of devices were released quickly without any kind of validation of the software they were running. They didn't have any kind of identity. And so we found ourselves with a glut of these devices that are still out there. If you do any kind of searching of Shodan, you'll see that there are these devices that are going to be out there for decades longer, and they're all vulnerable and they're participating in botnets. And so dealing with the past, I think that we need to depend more heavily on networks, because we aren't going to get these devices updated. Mm-hmm. And so the networks need to be smart enough to be able to recognize the devices, maybe based on the behavior. I've done a lot of work in my dissertation looking at behavior of IoT devices. And if you can get a good model of this behavior, then you can start proactively building access control into the network to block these. If you're talking about present IoT devices, then not a lot has changed, I would say. We have a more consolidated space. So you have bigger players that are making devices. These are becoming more popular with general consumers. I think that insecurity has increased. I think that automatic updates are a normal thing now, which is great. We still don't have that identity I talked about. And that's really kind of the future is IoT devices and networks need to coordinate on how to provide this security. The network needs to know the device that's running on it. And honestly, the opposite should be true too, is that there should be a way of the device authenticating the network. And so there's lots of good stuff in the pipeline with OCF. There's other standards like Wi-Fi Alliance is releasing their device provisioning protocol version 2, I think, in December. And so that's important for consumers to be able to securely onboard their device onto the network.
Okay. So let me ask you kind of two follow-up questions to that, one about the past and one about the future. On the past side, how do companies kind of handle legacy device security? You know, they have these devices out there that are older and, you know, and they're vulnerable to attacks, like you mentioned. How do companies go about, you know, protecting those legacy devices, and what's the best approach to do that?
Yeah. So I think network segmentation is going to be very important in this space. Cable Labs released an open, it's kind of a standard. It's an open proposal, I'd say, it has code and everything to it, called Micronets. And what it does is it allows home routers to essentially create very segmented, specific networks. And these segmentations could be based on various behavioral aspects of the IoT devices. So not just segmenting your IoT devices from the rest of your network, but also you could put your home security related systems on their own subnet, and they can't talk to anything else, essentially. So that's definitely going to play into dealing with past ones. Obviously you can try to find patches for them. Some of these devices, you know, they're made from companies that have long gone out of business. And so there's not going to be patches for them.
Right. So now second question I had to kind of what you mentioned a second ago is more about the future and talking about where do you see the biggest vulnerabilities lying in IoT solutions going into, you know, next year into the future, and what's the best way that companies can kind of future-proof those devices and be able to handle security threats that we don't even know about yet?
Right. So going into the future, I think that companies really need to look at the potential of what I call our archaeological code bases that they're using in their IoT devices. I think we've seen an increase in these legacy or, you know, libraries that are used that have vulnerabilities. And so I think that one of the near future things is companies need to look at carefully the software bill of materials that go into their devices and make sure that those don't have vulnerabilities. Okay. Long term, I think that there's some good standards. OCF is definitely one of them that I hope to see more companies building towards, you know, because I think that the economies of scale you can have with these and the number of eyes you have on it is always really good for security.
Yeah. That's great. Okay, good. Now, if we move away from just talking solely about security here and talk about, let's say, just a general IoT adoption, it's something that we focus a lot on in our discussions, trying to figure out, you know, what can be done to increase adoption. You know, what problems are we seeing in the market that are causing adoption to maybe not take off in the way we expect? I wanted to get your kind of stance on the current IoT landscape as it relates to adoption. Like, how are you viewing adoption now, or what are you seeing from your interaction with customers, as well as your kind of overall just view of the market? And then kind of tying on to that, what do you think contributes the most to the decision to, or the ability to grow adoption versus just not, you know, not see adoption grow the way we hope?
Sure. So one thing that might be hindering adoption, and it's been a relatively recent thing, this public awareness of IoT security in general, right? I think that in the past, people just didn't, it wasn't even on their radar. And now they see news articles on a daily basis of, you know, a video camera being hacked and some stranger yelling at their children. Like, that's the nightmare scenario for a parent. So I think that the security thing is going to play a bigger role in this. And I think making security easy has got to be one of the main drivers for companies to increase consumers adopting their product, right? They have to be able to show that it's secure in a good way, in a way that's easy for people to see, and make it easy. And employing things like the device provisioning protocol, for example, is one of those. So we've been doing work in many of the standards that work. One of those is Open Connectivity Foundation. We've been driving to get device provisioning protocol built into the system. So the idea being that your device comes with a QR code that you can scan, and that QR code will get the device securely on the network and securely into the IoT ecosystem right now. Because now, right now, it's two steps. You have to go through a complicated procedure of getting your device on your Wi-Fi, giving your Wi-Fi password to that device, and then getting the device onboarded onto your IoT ecosystem. Some of the things that we'd like to see in the future is that this is all one step, and that the credential that is given to the device for the network is also the credential given, or is you be able to be used by the IoT ecosystem. And it should be unique to that device, meaning that you don't have these shared passwords in all your devices for your Wi-Fi. Now, that's a big problem, because if one of those devices is compromised, then your password could be leaked out. And if each one has their own, then that becomes impossible.
So what advice do you have for companies or individuals out there looking to, you know, buy IoT devices, and when they're concerned about security? What should they be looking for? How should they approach that kind of thought process and planning process to make sure they're making the right decisions?
I'd say definitely the PKI is probably going to be a big factor in deploying IoT devices at scale. We don't have another good way of providing trust at the scale that we need. And what's interesting is, so Cable Labs runs one of the largest device PKIs in the world. Every cable modem comes with a digital cert that chains up to one that was created by Cable Labs. And so I think that that's going to be an important work for all devices, sure. IoT devices.
It makes a lot of sense. We've kind of heard similar stuff when we've talked to individuals in the enterprise and the consumer space. So we just had a guest on from the Key Factor talking about PKI. So very relevant conversation. I appreciate that. One of the last things I wanted to ask you before we wrap up is around implementing IoT security and the challenges that really exist in doing that. So we've talked about kind of legacy situations. We've talked about future considerations. We've talked about advice and general stuff for making sure that you're doing things correctly. But what have you seen have been the biggest challenges when it comes to implementing IoT security?
I think a lot of those challenges stem from the whole range of IoT devices. So we have IoT devices that are high-powered CPUs, got lots of RAM. They're plugged into the power all the way down to devices that have to run for years on a battery. And I think the biggest challenge is to find a security model that fits that such a huge range. One of the things that I've seen contentious in standards organizations is, do you have a secure element on the IoT device, for example? And from a pure security perspective, that is always a good idea. But I realize that manufacturers have, economic constraints, and adding those kinds of things does add incremental costs. So balancing that all is a tough challenge. So.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I think it's a very interesting situation, a very difficult kind of one for companies that, you know, do not have a clear understanding of the security space to take on. It's always been a very challenging conversation when I've had with companies who are not in the security space and how to approach it. So these insights are very helpful. As we kind of finish up here, I wanted to see, aside from what we talked about with the current work you have going on with the IoT specifications with OCF and so forth. Are there any other kind of really big things going on over at Cable Labs that the audience and should be kind of aware of, or you are excited to, you know, have coming out soon, or anything kind of on the horizon?
So I would say that we don't make products, so nothing really comes
up. Sure.
I get particularly excited about applying machine learning technologies to gateway devices, for example,
right,
where your gateway can help help you manage your network. My dissertation was all about, can we measure devices based on their network complexity and then see those devices learn their behavior based on that complexity. So your light bulb, for example, has a very predictable pattern on the network, and therefore okay, we can have stricter models for that light bulb. A laptop, probably impossible to totally model because it's going all over the internet. It's, you know, pulling in JavaScript from everywhere, those kind of things.
Right.
So I'm excited about that. I'm excited about seeing where AI can be applied actively in the network and even in the home. So.
Fair enough. Okay. That makes a lot of sense. That'd be really kind of interested to see where things go. Do you have any other predictions or thoughts on like going into next year? What do you hope kind of happens on the security front in 2021?
I hope that we are surface from, you know, time at home and kind of pick up the pieces and are continuing to, you know, move that ball forward with securing devices and being aware that that's a priority across right, the board from industry to consumers to governments. So,
yeah. Okay. Fantastic. If our audience has questions or wants to do any follow-up, you know, about Cable Labs or anything you all are doing, what's the best way to reach out or find more information?
So Cable Labs has a website, of course. Me personally, LinkedIn's a good way to contact me, I think. I think those are the best. Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, Kyle, this has been a great, great pleasure to have you on. Congrats again about, the PhD and the defense of your dissertation. It's fantastic. And the insights you shared today are great. I think our audience is going to get a lot of value out of them. IoT security has been a big topic. We've kind of covered a lot lately, and the angle you kind of came at it from is a good one. So I appreciate your time and thanks for being on the show.
Cool. Thank you, Ryan.
Hi, everyone. Thanks again for listening to that episode of the IoT for All podcast. I hope you found a lot of value in it. If you did, I would truly appreciate it if you would leave a rating or review on whichever platform you're listening to us on. Also, feel free to subscribe to our podcast directly or our newsletter or social media to ensure you get the latest episodes as soon as they become available. But other than that, thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next time.